Some people are particularly prone to the sin of lust. Not just sexual lust, but also a lust for life. And that lust can ruin relationships, marriages, and our lives. Lust is one of the seven deadly sins. And you know something? It's still deadly today. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as Keith Henry and I take a look at overcoming temptation from a different perspective. And please stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our special edition book called Eliminating Stubborn Sin Once and for All. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you live in the victory that Jesus died and rose again to give you. It seems that the more affluent we become and the more powerful we become, the more we think that really what matters is fulfilling our every desire. I was watching a program on TV the other night, which was like a panel of advertising gurus analyzing different TV ads. And what became evident over and over again is how those ads play on this insatiable craving we have to be successful and to have and to consume. Whether it's a four-wheel drive or a pair of shoes, these experts tap into a rich vein of desire in our hearts, and that's what makes the world go round. When it comes to advertising, all the gurus tell you, sex sells, right? And pandering to these desires, well, not only don't we see that there's anything wrong with it, well, there's an old-fashioned word. That word is lust, which kind of describes this whole rampant desire thing. I'm joined again today by my special guest, Keith Henry. Now, Keith, what exactly does this word lust mean?
Well, as you said, Bernie, lust can be sexual, but it's a lot more than that. It's really a drive that you have that you want to tackle everything in life, Bernie. It also includes arrogance. Hmm. It includes power. Because you want to control things. You want to try to take on the world, to challenge the world. You want your way. Hmm. And it's this excess where you're trying to get everything that you want and denying everybody else.
Okay, so there's sexual lust, and now what sort of person is prone to this lust thing?
In Romans 12, it gives you the different personalities types, and one of them mentioned there is leader. Mm-hmm. So a leader has to be strong. They have to take control. They have to have all these good points. But in sin, in the world, we also take on the bad points, and this mm-hmm. is where lust comes in, that they want what they want, not what somebody else wants.
It almost sounds, I mean, you're right, a leader does have to be strong, has to be very focused, people follow the leader. And it's almost as though if you take those gifts too far, then all of a sudden the virtue turns into a sin. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think in the world we do start from the sin point first, and mm-hmm. we want to participate in the divine nature, which mm-hmm. is the proper leadership style in this mm-hmm. case, but we get corrupted by the sin. And the sin, it's very enticing. You know, you can have power over people. You can control people. You're a leader. People look up to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's very enticing.
Interesting. I just want to share a story with you from the book of 2 Samuel in the Bible, one that a lot of people might be familiar with. One late afternoon, King David got up from taking a nap. He was strolling on the roof of the palace. From his vantage point on the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was stunningly beautiful. David sent and asked about her and was told, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent his agents to get her. After she arrived, he went to bed with her, and then she returned home. See, David was probably the greatest leader that Israel ever had.
Yes.
Right? He was the leader, absolutely. Everybody naturally followed David. Mm. What was his sin? Lust.
Lust. He had the power. Mm. He had the control. People looked up to him, and he wanted everything.
It sort of explains to me why some of these really high-profile, both church leaders and secular leaders, fall in this area. I mean, Bill Clinton is a very obvious example of a fabulous leader who clearly this sin got the better of him.
It does, and all sorts of evangelists and people prominent. If you're prominent, you have to be very careful, especially if you're a leader. These are the people that can tackle anything. They're the people that climb the mountains, and you think, why would you want to climb a mountain? A lot of personality types think, why would I want to do that? Mm. No, they want to conquer things. See, it's in their personality to go out and challenge and take control of things and people.
And you actually want a leader to do that, don't you?
You do.
If you're following someone who is a leader, you want them to be in control. If a leader is weak, I mean, you see it in political parties. If the leader is weak, the party gets rid of that leader and puts a new one because they actually want a strong leader.
They do.
So there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, we don't have enough good leaders. We need leaders in whatever it is, in the parliament or church or whatever area. We need leaders. There's not enough good ones, and we do need good leaders. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs 6:27, though, that says, "Can a person take fire to the bosom and his garments and not be burnt?" These are people that play with fire, and it can destroy them.
Yeah. So what do they do about that? I mean, if you're a leader and you know you have a weakness in this area, either it's sexual, and a lot of men do. A lot of men are caught up in pornography, right? It's a mass. In fact, pornography, someone said, accounts for 80% of internet traffic. Pretty scary. So if someone's caught up in that, or just the lust of power, or the lust for life, or the lust for, you know, just go out there and get it, what can they do about that?
Well, the way out is to participate in the divine nature. And this is what we have to set our hearts on. Now, our sins are passions. So what's our passion? Is our passion worldly or is our passion godly? And the way out of for the leader is to focus on becoming godly. And in 2 Peter 1, it does actually have the virtues there. And it says we can participate in divine nature and escape the lusts in the world caused by evil desire. The corruption in the world. But the way for the leader is to become very magnanimous. In other words, very giving and working for others, not for what they want, because they can get anything almost. I mean, these are leaders.
That's the temptation, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can get anything because you're a leader.
Yeah. So are you going to work for others or are you going to work for yourself? Become godly. God works for other people.
I'm just thinking about that because I think in the workforce where I've worked, and there are some leaders and you know they have your interests at heart and actually they're the ones that you have a real heart to follow.
Yes.
That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the leader who almost sees himself or herself as the servant of the people who are following him or her.
And that's the way to become a servant or actually become more of a giver, you know, because you've got a lot to give. You know, a leader has a lot to give. They have so much more energy, so much more everything than anybody else, and they have to give it to others.
That's fascinating. So as a leader, you can decide to go off and manipulate and control and run over the top of the people, and 9 times out of 10 you'll get your way, yeah?
Yep. Who wants to fight a leader? No, you know, most personalities don't.
Another leader.
Yeah, only another leader because, you know what, they enjoy it. Because they like to test things out and challenge things.
Yeah.
And if you as a leader walk into a party, you know, a room, and first of all, you'll sense where the power is in that room.
Isn't that fascinating?
Or in a board meeting, you'll know where the power is and you'll watch and you'll try and conquer that power that you're in charge.
Isn't that fascinating? And the way to change that, the way to deal with this particular deadly sin of lust for power and lust for everything else is to say, I'm going to take the gifts that I have and become a servant with them.
Not selfish. Yes, right. Become a server, give it away and give it to others and don't be self-focused.
That is just amazing. You know, God does, isn't it amazing? God does things and changes you. When you go after him and you start focusing on him and serving others, he fixes a whole bunch of things behind you that you don't even have to think about. He's amazing.
The devil is constantly trying to trip you up with the same old tricks, lies, deceptions, and temptations. But Jesus came to give you victory, complete victory, over all that stuff. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our special edition ebook. It's called Eliminating Stubborn Sin Once and for All. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live in the victory that Jesus died and rose again to give you. To request your free copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Remember, this isn't one of our usual life application booklets, but a special edition e-book, so don't miss out. That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.